I must break you.
He beat me straight up. Pay him. Pay that man his money.
This time, Mr. Bond, the pleasure will be all mine.
Components, American components, Russian components, all made in Taiwan!
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the USSR, the usual Saint screen reviews. My name is Saint, here with another usual Saint, Mike D. Say what's up, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
And this week we're going to start our continuing series. We decided to break these up into two episodes. This week we're going to be covering Loki, the new Marvel Studios Disney Plus show. It's going to be a 6-episode run. So what we're going to do is we're going to do episodes 1 and 2 this week. And then in a future episode, we're going to do episodes 3 and 4. And then we'll end off with episodes 5 and 6 to recap the entire series. So instead of doing it one episode at a time, we'll do 2 episodes, let people catch up, give people time to watch it, catch up, see what they like, check it out. Hopefully we'll get another one of our podcasters in crime on one of these episodes. But for this ep, we're going to do the first 2 episodes, episodes 1 and 2. And to start off with, if you guys don't know, Loki, based off the character from the Thor movies, the main villain in the first Avengers, and I guess kind of a anti-hero by the time we get to Infinity War. He was killed by Thanos in, you know, the very first part.
What? Whoa, bro, spoiler alert.
Also, I want to get into that, you know, whether or not this series kind of takes away from the, you know, emotion that happened when Thanos killed him. You know, I mean, it's a comic book thing, you know, no one really dies in comics, but it kind of takes away from the overall big emotional impact of Loki getting killed. By the time we get to Endgame, we see, oh wait, he's not killed. You know, Loki from, what's it, 2012, when the first Avengers, and he takes the Tesseract and dips out. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So Mike, what's your overall thoughts of this character? We can talk about the actor, Tom Henderson. What was your overall? Yeah, no, I'm bad at that, like reading as I'm talking. What was your overall feeling of this character? I don't know if you've ever read any of the Thor comic books, if this is a Marvel character that you've been interested before the movies and TV show. What was your overall thought of the character in general?
First, let's give the man some due respect. Tom Hiddleston or Stun? Damn it, now I'm fucking it up. Okay, Tom Hiddleston. He's really good. I didn't know he was in War Horse. I never watched War Horse, but I had it on HBO the other day. He's on that. He's in a lot of shit that you wouldn't remember. Not that you wouldn't remember him from, but back when before he became Loki and became kind of a household name. He was in the Night Manager on AMC, which I really loved a few years ago. That was a limited series. Regarding Loki, I love the character in the films. I love the way Tom Hiddleston plays him. I just think he does really well with the type of character that Loki is. You know, he's a mischievous scamp or whatnot, but he's pretty evil sometimes, but is that evil really legit, or is he just trying to prove himself to his adopted dad and brother, you know, that kind of thing. I've never been a Thor person. I don't think I've ever read a Thor comic book. If he was in Civil War, I may have caught him in that, but I don't know if he was in that series. So I know him mainly from the movies. And so I don't know if that informs my opinion less or more of the character, but I love what Marvel Cinematic Universe and, you know, the TV series now has done with him. It's just, it's entertaining to say the least.
So, I mean, for most of the time in the comic books, he played the traditional, you know, foil to his brother, mischievous, always playing pranks on the Avengers and Thor, and pretty much just being a big giant pain in Thor's ass for the most part. They've always, you know, depending on the writer, he's either been kind of, it's kind of the same way as a Joker. Either he's a trickster or he's a megalomaniac psycho. You know, it just all depends on which way the writers want to take him. And I guess I was kind of the same way. It was really through the MCU where I really became a huge fan of the character. I really got more in depth of it. Now I've gone back because I have the Marvel Unlimited subscription. So I've gone back and I've read some of the comics. I want to go back and read some of the Kid Loki, like, and we'll get more into this in the show, but what the show has shown, like there could be multiple Lokis in multiple, I wouldn't say time streams, but the multiverse, which is going to be a big thing coming up in the MCU, but there's been a Kid Loki, spoiler alert, like the end of episode 2, there's been a female Loki. And so it's a real interesting character. I think as Thor, I don't want to give any more spoilers to what happens in the Thor comic book, but because I think a lot of that's going to happen in the next Thor movie, Love and Thunder. They've pretty much tried to make Thor, and with that Loki, as, you know, very more, just not as Guardian Guards. They've tried to expand out what they've been in the comic books, because for a while, you know, things get pretty stale when it's just, okay, they're gods, you know, they're an Asgard. They've done things like Jane, Thor's, you know, love interest. She becomes Thor for a while. Actually, I think she still may be a Thor, and Thor becomes Odin's son, where, you know, he's just not just the actual Thor who wields a hammer because he becomes unworthy. Anyway, all that's to say is that the character of Loki, I think what's happened in the MCU, they've really taken advantage to expand the character. I guess he's been a fan favorite. And even after being the main villain in Avengers, which we find out Thanos is really the main bad guy, they've taken that opportunity and ran with it to what they could do with the character. So that being said, Disney Plus, they've gone on, and this is the third of the Disney Plus shows. First was WandaVision, which did we ever get a chance to talk about WandaVision?
So we touched on it on the main podcast with Jeremy and Vinny. Like I said, Vinny's never watched either of those shows because I thought he was anti-Marvel at the time, but apparently he's just anti-paying money to Disney Plus. And so now that he has a subscription and has watched Loki, but we didn't give full episodes to those shows. You know, obviously we talked about a bunch of stuff on the main podcast. So it's just basically waiting for Jeremy to catch up on whatever he caught up on. And we touched on him a little bit.
Well, that said, this is the third one. Oh, we'll touch on it right now real quick. So what was your, I guess, 1 minute or 2 minute synopsis of how you felt about WandaVision, and then 1 or 2 minutes of how you felt about Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I mean, I love both of them. I don't think I've thought Marvel had a misstep, except for, in my opinion, I'm not a huge fan of Iron Man 2 and 3. Upon rewatches, they get a little bit easier to kind of deal with, but I don't know.
I still think Iron Man 3 is straight garbage, and 2 is okay, but 3 is just garbage. But go ahead.
See, I think if I had to reverse them, I think those would be reversed. And then, of course, there's Thor Dark World, but, you know, we already covered that. So, I mean, I just think they're genius with what they've done with them. And obviously they're limited series, you know, WandaVision, you didn't know what to expect. And then they introduced this great character of Agatha all along as the villain. They bring in Quicksilver, but it's the Fox Quicksilver, but then it's not the Fox Quicksilver. And so it was fun the way they did it. And it was the first Marvel series, so you didn't know what to expect. By the time Falcon and the Winter Soldier rolls around, it's just more of like a 6-hour movie, in my opinion. The way they did it, the way they rolled it out. You know, I liked Bucky and, you know, his whole kind of remorse and apologetic thing. And where's he placed now? That kind of thing. The people who are like, oh, there was a gay vibe. And then apparently Anthony Mackie got in trouble the other day he didn't say he was against the gay thing, but he said, why does everything have to be homosexuality now? Like it's the in thing to do. Why can't it just be two guys, you know, being best buds and loving each other, saying, I love you, that kind of thing. But I mean, either way, I loved it. And I, you know, obviously set up Captain America 4, unless they plan on doing another prequel, which I don't see how that would be. I think Chris Evans is pretty much done with it, unless they do an alternate timeline and they take a multiverse approach to that. But overall, both of those shows were great, and I expect nothing less from this show. And I think we've gotten the same greatness so far.
quick synopsis for me. I really enjoyed the first, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes of WandaVision when they were really sticking to that every decade television show kind of motif they're doing. I thought it was so creative. They were throwing people for a loop because a lot of people had no idea what was going on. So for that to come out the gate, I think it showed that, hey, Marvel Studios, we can do whatever the fuck we want. This is, we are wide open. After, you know, we did the Infinity Saga, but with these shows, each one is going to have a different style of feeling. Everything's open to us. So, and I really appreciate that they could pretty much go on and do whatever they want to do. Falcon and Winter Soldier, like you said, it kind of felt like it was more of a 6-hour movie. I wasn't as excited about it because it kind of just, you know, it just wasn't as creative to me as WandaVision was. It kind of seemed like they were doing a lot of things that, you know, we could see in any action adventure movie. I do get the whole bromance thing. I don't understand why people get so in arms. And I get why certain groups, especially, you know, the gay community may want to see more. Hey, you know, this bromance may actually be a thing between these two. And I go see Anthony Mackie's point, like, because I'm sure from my view, I think the Winter Soldier, I think he's all about that chocolate. I think he's going back to that Wakanda, you know. I have no doubt in my mind he is going to be him and what's her name? The one Dora Milaje. I forget what her name is, but you know which one I'm talking about, right?
The lead one in the series.
Yes. I'm almost sure that's going to be his romantic love interest going forward.
So he's banging the Falcon's sister.
But I don't know, man. I'm gonna go with my original. Once you get that little taste of that Wakanda, I think Wakanda is where it's at. Guaranteed. But so I think WandaVision, and the problem with WandaVision, I think it kind of ended. They had to bring it back to being more superhero Marvel-y, because of course she's going to be in Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. So I think the final episode, they kind of brought it back into being more comic booky. But I think that theme of trying to hit every decade of TV was just so creative. You know, I loved it. So I gave that an A+. I gave Falcon the Winter Soldier, I gave it a B-. It was, you know, it was okay. I love where the story's going, because if anyone's read the comic book where eventually Falcon does become the Captain America, but in the comic book, they went all in. They didn't hide from it. They dealt with racial issues and people saying, not my Captain America, dealing with the whole race issue. And how do you feel representing America, but also all the, you know, racial problems we have in this country. It was a great run in that Captain America series where Falcon, spoiler alert again for the comic books, the Cap, he ends up being an actual Hydra Cap, where this Captain America actually worked for Hydra, and it led to a whole nother, you know, Dark Reign. It's a whole comic book thing. But anyway, with that, we get to the third series, Loki. And actually, I'm liking this just as much as I'm liking WandaVision, because I think it's being super creative. They could have just been like, hey, here's Loki and he's doing this. But, and I think Kevin Feige is a genius in a way where DC, whoever's running DC Warner Brothers, just take notes. Like Kevin Feige, with these series, with everything, they go into the library and they find something. And what's this? The Time Variant Authority.
Yeah.
And a TVA, which is just like Guardians of the Galaxy, a not very well-known part of the Marvel Universe, but I have heard of it because, you know, just reading through, you know, like for me, I'm a huge X-Men and Spider-Man were my biggest things. And unfortunately, Marvel Studios those are two properties Marvel Studios hasn't owned. I mean, they have Spider-Man and now they're going to get X-Men back. But all these things have been little things where, you know, they've been side projects. I'd even argue that most big time comic book fans haven't really heard of, you know, I heard of the Guardians of the Galaxy before, and I've heard of the Time Variant Authority because of the Time Lords, the guys who've run it. They've interjected in some comic books, something to do with the Dark Phoenix before. I don't remember, but it's just genius to me how Feige can find things in the Marvel vault and be like, hey, we're going to use this and use this to intertwine with our already established MCU and bring it all together. So just the look and the feel of it, just how it looks like, it's something out of the 70s. I don't really know how to describe what the office he's working in. You know what I'm talking about? It's not modern. It's like oldish TVs and old office equipment, but it has a very unique, distinctive style. And I love how they're playing around with it to be like, yes, this is futuristic and way out of space and often different, out of the time variant, however you want to describe it. But yet they give it a retro feel. I guess retro would be the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's like elements from a bunch of different decades, like 60s, 70s, 70s, 80s computers, maybe. But then you got like the dancing Miss Minute thing, which is not, I don't know where that's from. You know what I mean? but then you have the guys, all the office staff dressed like 60s, like Mad Men kind of thing. The whole world itself is obviously futuristic to the point that Loki is even amazed at one point in, I think, episode 2, when he sees the entire city, when he's standing out on the balcony. It might have been episode 1, but it's very interesting the way they're doing it. And where it leads, who knows? I have a few theories just based off the appearance of the Time Lords and whatnot on the Time Variance Authority and whatnot, but we'll see what happens. We got a few episodes left, so.
To me, it's very interesting the way that the Marvel Studios, they've decided with these shows is, at first I thought these shows were going to be completely self-contained, but the more and more I think about it, I think that they're using these shows as kind of like mini setups to where it's like, okay, we're going to do the big reveals in the movies, but let's use these shows to just give a little bit, like WandaVision, I think is a way that they're going to introduce more magic, because at the end of WandaVision, she clearly, I guess she became the actual Scarlet Witch, which in the comic books is just her superhero name. You got Captain America, you got Falcon, and she's just known as Scarlet Witch. But I guess they've actually gone all the way into it to be like, oh no, she's an actual witch. Like these powers are going to somehow be included in what Doctor Strange does, be in the Marvel magic kind of universe, which I thought was real interesting. And with Loki, I think this is a way, and I guess it depends on how you feel about time travel. When you're dealing with time travel and different timelines and different multiverses, things can get very convoluted. But I think this is the way for them to be like, hey, not only are we going to introduce a multiverse, but we're going to introduce different timelines and stuff. And one of my favorite things they did was just basically show like, hey, you want to know how the Infinity Saga is really over? Like in what was episode 1, he opens up a drawer and there's just dozens of Infinity Stones. Like, oh yeah, guys, we just use it as a paperweight. Just to realize the Infinity Stones, the most powerful things, the things that we literally named our last saga, 28 films about. Yeah, that's over and done with. And we're on to some new things because it's over. I thought that was a real creative way to get to that point.
Yeah, one of my favorite memes after episode 1 was, I forget the character's name, but Thanos' right-hand man there, the tall guy that has all the magic powers, the skinny guy. You know who I'm talking about. And it's him and he's talking to Thanos and it's a meme. So there's like 4 pictures. It's like, you're the only being to ever possess 2 Infinity Stones. Oh my God. And then you got guy with the office guy with, hey, we use them for paperweights.
Right.
So I got a kick out of that. But I think it's interesting that, magic in the TVA, wherever or whenever or whatever that is, has no power, to, for lack of a better word. I mean, Loki can't use his. The Infinity Stones don't matter for shit. The guy looks at the Tesseract like, oh, look at that. Like they don't care because it doesn't matter as long as the TVA is following the, what do they call it? The standard timeline, the main timeline, whatever they're calling it.
For watching this, I think it's like, the master timeline or something like that. It's, but so going with that, so of course, I mean, we can do a quick recap. So episode one, Loki escapes from where he was at the end of Endgame, and he flies into, I think, the Mojave Desert, somewhere like that. Comes across some natives, and of course, I guess because of this, he wasn't supposed to do this, and he creates a ripple in the time stream. And so, of course, the time variant authority comes, and they arrest him, and I guess he's being set. Actually, that was a good bit at the beginning where he had to sign for everything that he's ever said, and he doesn't sign for it, and he's like, what? And then another sheet comes down, he's like, okay, now. So he's like, are you serious? that was a pretty cool gag. He gets there, eventually finds out what the whole time variant authority is, decides he doesn't want to be here, but another character played by Owen Wilson. Owen, or is this...
It's Owen. It's Owen. Yeah, no. Luke's the other guy. You're racist.
Right.
Okay. It's Mobius, M. Mobius, I think is his name, right?
Right, which is a character ripped straight from the comic books. And he is basically tracking down another variant who's traveling through different time streams and, you know, pretty much offing off people from the authority. And so by the time we get to the second episode, Loki is... you know, with them, you know, of course, being a trickster, trying to deceive them, wants to take over the authority, wants to kill and take over the Time Lords, because in his mind now, what he looks at is like the Time Variant Authority is the most powerful entity in the universe. I mean, if they completely control time, and if Infinity Stones are just paperweights there to him, this is the new, you know, goal to be at or to obtain. By the time we get to the end of this episode, we find, by the time we get to the last episode, we see that he's really chasing another Loki, a Loki who's been displaced from a different time stream. And so we get all the way to a mall in Alabama. I think it was 2052. They said it was.
Yeah.
And the mall in question, that's also going to play a lot coming up into it. It's a company. What's the name of that company?
Roxcart.
Right. They've slowly, because I think,
it's Roxcart. I just looked it up.
Roxcart. And it's been mentioned sparingly in the MCU, but I think they're going to play a bigger role coming up in the movies in the MCU. This is another basically bad evil company that's in the Marvel comic book universe that I think they're making smart use of and probably going to get an expanded role in the MCU. But basically at the end of the episode, Loki finds himself who's been... you know, what's it called? Taking over people's bodies. And by the end of it, you see it's a female version of Loki. Now, there is a bit of a controversy, more spoiler alerts. Some people are saying that this could be not the female Loki, but could be the magician. I believe it's Morgana, who's also known Thor, one of Thor's main villains. So while I do think that they're going to go with the female Loki version, because even in his file, one of the scenes they had his file when they said gender, and I think it was fluid in one of the files that he looked up when he's reading about himself. But there is a theory out there that the female version that we're looking at isn't an actual Loki. It's actually the Enchantress Morgana, and she's the one because she's known the green aesthetic and is known to take over people's bodies. So, but for right now, what they're showing us is, you know, it's a female version of Loki. And I just want to know what your thoughts about that was.
I mean, I don't care. I put all my faith in them. But I don't know enough of the comic history to speak to that. But I did note another theory that I saw like immediately after the episode aired last Wednesday, episode two. By the time this comes out, probably episode three will probably be out. But when episode two came out, people noticed that in the credits for the episode, the actress who played her wasn't Lady Loki. It wasn't Loki. It wasn't Variant Loki. It wasn't anything else. It was a character named Sylvie. And so apparently that character, again, not knowing anything about this in the comics, is when the Asgardians make their home in Oklahoma, Broxton, Oklahoma, I guess. And the Sylvie, this person who existed before the Asgardians moved to Oklahoma, wakes up and she has powers and all this kind of stuff. And so she calls herself Enchantress, and she goes to try to join the Avengers.
Enchantress, that's what I meant. I was saying, well, it was supposed to be Enchantress. I was getting that wrong. But yeah, Enchantress. Because all I remember, because of the green aesthetic, from what limited Thor comic book I have, I always know the Enchantress had that green aesthetic anytime she did, you know, eyes glowing green powers coming out of her hands. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's, you know, just based off the credits alone. I mean, whether that's a big fuck up or a mislead or misdirect, you know, we'll see. But I mean, I guess the character eventually became like a little bit of a villain. And then she at some point may have tried to join the Young Avengers. And a lot of people are speculating that with the new Hawkeye series and Hawkeye's daughter being Hawkeye in the series or something like that, that Young Avengers might be around the corner. Again, something I'm not familiar with. But so, I mean, there's a lot of different roads to go down. Not that this actress who plays her, I'm not saying she, listen, I'm 41, she doesn't look old or anything, but she doesn't look like a young Avenger to me. When I think young Avenger, I think teenager, that kind of stuff. So I mean, there's so many different ways this can go, and I'm always surprised by what Marvel winds up pulling out of the hat that they dig deep in every time they do one of these series. And to touch on something else you said earlier, the series, these series, all three of them, and the future ones too, I'm shocked that they can make them. I mean, I don't know how much they cost, I haven't looked into the budgets or anything, but you hear how Marvel movies are like 200, 300 million, 400 million for like the pair of Infinity War Avenger films, the last ones. How much is this a 6-hour series? I mean, yeah, there may not be as many special effects, but they look just as damn good as the movies if I had to put anything towards them. You know, WandaVision's got all that CGI changing between the decades. Yeah, a lot of it's practical effects, which is probably less, but it's just crazy to me that they can make like a, basically, like we said, a 6-hour movie with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and no one's talking about the budget, but, you know, just more the quality that we expect from Marvel.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I'm some big expert on it, but I do know that in order to get some of these actors to agree to sign on for some of these, you know, Kevin Feige basically told them like, hey, we're not going to be doing this on shoestring budgets. You know, it was, I remember reading some article somewhere where he told them that, no, these are going to be high budget. You know, we're going all in for these. We're not going to be, I don't know if you ever saw, which probably was the worst Marvel product, even worse than Thor: The Dark World. They tried to do an Inhumans TV show. Were you aware of this?
I watched all the episodes.
Oh my.
But it wasn't the MCU on TV. What it was is the same thing as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has basically now been disavowed by them. They're trying to cut that out of the canon, as far as I can tell. So same thing with Inhumans. I watched it. I didn't know anything about Inhumans. I wanted it to be good. It wasn't.
So if you're listening to this, if you've never heard of the Inhumans, think of them as a broke-ass wannabe X-Men who none of the fans have ever embraced in any kind of way, shape, or form. That's basically what the Inhumans were. We're just another way to introduce people or persons with powers. And they were supposed to be like an offshoot kind of different way to introduce powered beings than the X-Men. But the X-Men were really popular, and the X-Men are still popular, and no one gives a shit about the Inhumans. But the only reason they were even considered for their own TV show has to do with the backstory of Marvel not owning the movie or television rights to the X-Men because they had been sold off to Fox, same like Spider-Man had been sold off to Sony. And so you can see everything in Marvel, from the comic books to advertising to the posters. Like every year, Marvel makes a poster where they try to include every single character who's ever been in the universe. It's like one of the coolest posters. And for years, front and center would be Wolverine or Professor Xavier or one of the X-Men all the time. But eventually, after the movies became so big, the X-Men completely disappeared from the poster. And they were still making X-Men comic books. And they even, in the comic books, they had relegated the X-Men, like, we have to hide in another dimension because we're so loathed and hated. And readers of comic books like, what the fuck? But with that, Marvel had been propping up the Inhumans as, oh, the Tadarian Mist, which is the things that cause humans to become inhuman. Oh, not only were they caught creating more Inhumans, it was literally something that was poisonous to mutants. It was so crazy and convoluted what was happening. All that to say, there's a big push to get the Inhumans front and center. More backstory, if you know anything about who was running Marvel TV at the time. It wasn't Kevin Feige. That was another big rift that eventually now Kevin Feige runs anything. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on Marvel TV. All the Netflix shows, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, all that was part of Marvel TV. And then that Inhumans. But if you're going to do Inhumans, there has to be a budget. And for me, I didn't watch any of them because I had got some previews and they said that this must be the lowest budget. Like, you can't do this story on a TV budget. And to bring this full circle, I think these actors who had all been in the movies, I think they were promised that these would be big budgets. So I'm anticipating, you figure, depending on how much you have to pay the cast, how much one episode of a TV show, you're talking for a regular TV show, $2 to $3 million. And we're talking about a TV show with, you know, something like The End of Friends or Seinfeld or The Big Bang Theory, where they're having to pay the actors, you know, anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million an episode. I'm thinking for one of these episodes, probably for one episode, they're spending upwards of $10 to $15 million per episode, which is
I just Googled it for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, $25 million an episode.
Ooh, that is crazy. That is nuts. And it was, we had six episodes, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking 150 million. So it's basically a big budget Hollywood movie. And it's probably the only way you can agree some of these actors to continue on, because as much as I'm sure they enjoy playing these roles, you know, some of these people are like, hey, I know I signed up for movies, but you know, I'm not a TV star. But if you want to spend that much money, I wonder how much per episode was, did they say for Wanda?
Yeah, it said overall it was $225 million for the series. So about $25 million or more per episode.
That's crazy. I'm sure Loki is in the same budget. So yeah, I guess Feige's just like, hey, these are just going to be an extenuation of the movies. We just, you know, film more, or nothing hits the cutting room floor. So, but that just shows you the level of commitment and I guess the level of money Disney has to throw. I mean, then again, Disney is all in on Disney Plus. Yeah. All that to say is, I mean, it shows. It absolutely shows, especially with Loki. I think this is also the best looking of the three so far, in my opinion. I mean, like, again, I love WandaVision, and you know, a lot of it was practical effects, but I love going through the different decade aesthetics. Falcon and Winter Soldier, I guess it had more to do with the story. I guess, you know, I wasn't upset about it, but I thought the story was kind of blah overall, but definitely the aesthetic and the feel and the vibe coming from Loki, you can see it all on screen. And I think this may end up, I mean, it still has four more episodes. I hope by the end of it, it doesn't get cheesy. I hope there's not like a, I don't know, some final showdown with Loki versus the Enchantress or whatever. And, you know, they're going back. You know, I hope it doesn't end like that. I hope they find just a more creative way to bring Loki back into the fold. But so far, I think this may end up being my favorite of the series of the three so far.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to end it. Obviously, in a few weeks, we'll find out. I don't know if they're just going to kill him because of the sacred timeline and say, sorry, dude, that's how it's going to end for you. And, you know, maybe he's accepted it and just helped him just out of the goodness, because like they said in the series, he is kind of like actually good guy when it comes down to it. I think, you know, just based off the look of the Time Lords and again, not knowing anything about them, just from what I've seen of Kang the Conqueror, who's already been revealed to be the villain in the third Ant-Man film, I feel like, first of all, one of the Time Lords heavily resembles Kang the Conqueror, especially with Jonathan Majors in that role, just from the artwork that's been created from him as the character. Of course, he's quoted as saying he was asked about it, and he said, someone asked him, a variety asked him if he appeared in Loki, and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, that's just a bad denial. Like, I mean, you know what Loki is, bro. Like, you're involved in the Marvel Universe. I'm sorry. So, I don't know. I'm expecting to see him pop up in the series before it's over. But yeah, I think hopefully they find a way to keep this Loki alive and in play somewhere, whether the TVA goes bye-bye and something else happens. I mean, the end of episode two, everything's going to shit. Like the Mad Men guys are all like, and like, the branches are splitting all over the place and they don't know what the fuck to do. So I'm interested. Yeah. So I think the next one, it premieres tomorrow. Unfortunately, the Islanders game is tomorrow, so I don't know if I'll be able to watch it immediately tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to episode three and obviously the three after that.
Right. So yeah, with that being said, I don't know, Kang the Conqueror, they can go really deep because again, this is deep comic book stuff. I don't know. I always wonder how much the average fan or the average viewer, you know, really, I guess that's Kevin Feige's, I guess that's his response, his job and the MCU's job is to introduce characters, but that Kang the Conqueror stuff, that goes super deep. Like if they really want to get into it, he's in like, that's like goes into the Fantastic Four. I understand he's going to be the main villain in the next Ant-Man, was it? Yeah. But that can go all kinds of places. He has multiple variants where, I don't know, one of his is a hero and one of his is this. I need to rehash everything about him, but I do know that character himself plays, and if that's the way they want to go, that could be the next new main bad guy in, you know, the MCU. And it'd be really interesting to see if that's the way they can bring in, you know, the Fantastic Four and maybe even the X-Men into the MCU. So, well, with that being said, Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next episode. Like I said, right now, this is the series I've been most interested in going in with two episodes. I came in off the fishing boat. I work on a fishing boat, and I was able to see all of WandaVision at once. And then I came back and caught most of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and then caught the last two episodes as they aired. So this is the first one I'm catching week by week. And to be honest with you, I actually kind of enjoy watching shows week by week because it gives me time to speculate. I think some shows work, the binge model on Netflix, and some don't. And I think Disney's like, nah, all of ours are event series. You wait a week. We do the HBO model. You're going to wait. Everything's, you know, premiere. But for something like this, I enjoy it because it gives people time to sit, contemplate, make theories. I love fan theories. I love going down rabbit holes because, you know, allows me to go back and look up things in the comic book and stuff like that. But definitely looking forward to the next episodes in this series and see where it goes. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, man. I mean, I think we've touched on a lot. There's, you know, obviously a ton of Easter eggs that you can look at each thing. I think it's cool that they found out the variants hiding in apocalypses. I thought that was a pretty cool touch in episode two. And then, of course, they made this apocalypse in with the hurricane in Alabama, which, I mean, I've been to Alabama. I can't tell what's been hit by a hurricane and not. But hey, anyone listeners from Alabama, I'm just fucking with you. I thought it was really cool when they were at Pompeii and Loki's just doing whatever the fuck he wants. And then, like, literally the volcano's exploding behind him. I'm like, is there a portal they need to open or how does this work? And then it ends. So I just like what they're doing overall. And it probably, you know, it's keeping me guessing with every week, like you said, you know, it's building that anticipation. Not that I wasn't doing that for the prior series, but I think for some reason I'm more heavily invested in this one or more interested in seeing where it goes.
Right.
Cause it's, you know, the whole thing about stealing the time reset devices and linking them all up and where the fuck did they go? They just dropped through the middle of nowhere to probably, to all those different branches, you know? So, it's definitely keeping my interest every week.
No doubt. All right. With that, that's another episode of the USSR. I want to thank Mike D for being on this week. We're, like we said, we're probably going to do episodes 3 and 4 as an episode, then episode 5 and 6 as an episode. So stay tuned for that. And in between, we'll try to get some, you know, USSR rewind, see if we can get Vinny and Jeremy on a couple of those. Look at some past movies. Like I said, we definitely need to get with the Usual Suspects and the Boondock Saints. I mean, just, this is basically the name of our podcast. So those two definitely have to get on here and we'll have some others up. So like always, like, follow, subscribe, download, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcast, all the good stuff. This will be episode 3. I don't know. Should I number this? Should I keep this in the number or should I have it as its own thing?
I don't know. Why wouldn't you? You've been doing it.
I guess so. Yeah. Sorry. That was a little me thinking out loud on the podcast. Maybe I'll edit this part out. But anyway, for the Usual Saints, this is the Usual Saints Screen Reviews, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Later.